Okay, we're continuing in the Mesillas Yesharim with the commentary of the Bavli Mishkan Evne. And
must have been, yeah, Rafael switched it yesterday.
Switch it.
That's what it is. He's taking pictures. Okay, then it should be good. Yeah.
Okay, again, we're back with the Mesillas Yesharim with the commentary of the Bavli. We're gonna again I'm going to start adapting an approach to skip around where I feel the author is getting a bit repetitive over here. So we're jumping all the way to the first perek, page Kuf Ayin Zayin. And even there, we're going to start skipping a little bit as well. So we're just going to read the first couple words of the Mesillas Yesharim. Yesod HaChassidus V'Shar Shavoda, the foundation of Chassidus, and the root of the service, what kind of service? Avoda hatmima, wholesome service. Who? It is the following. This is the root of being a chassid and what it means to serve Hashem. Ishis bo'er, v'yisameis eitzal ha'odam ma'chavasa balamo. It's to clarify and to make true to himself what is his obligation in this world. What is his chov? And we're going to turn the next page and go right to Kofayin Tes, and continue with the words of Mr. Sharma on the top. And to what he should place his focus, his goals, with everything which he toils the entire days of his life. So what the Mr. Sharma is saying is, if you want to be a chassid, you want to know what the root of being a Jew, a wholesome Jew, is all about, you have to clarify, number one, what is your obligation in this world, and therefore what your focus will be in everything that you do and that you amel, that you toil in all your life. You have to know what your focus is. So we'll see what the Bavli says here. Kasher boru la'adam umisamis etzel machavas v'lamo. When it is clarified to a person, as made true to him, what is his obligations in this world. It becomes clarified to him that this world is predicated on schuyos, merits, and chovos, and obligations. Everyone has a specific obligation. And it becomes clarified to him what is that obligation. It was then, then he's obliged to place his focus on all his efforts, all his life, to reach that goal that is desired. Once you're clear what you got to do, then you got to make the focus to get it done. Budugma, for example. Let's say someone is obliged, he has a debt to pay somebody, he's got an obligation to pay back $1,000 to somebody. Is his whole life predicated on that debt, on that obligation? His whole life is to pay that $1,000 off? No. So that's just one branch, one part of his life. Mumasos, on the other hand, Yeshna Adam Shu Mesubach Mikaf Rego Vad Rosh Bechovas Vimnoshim. On the other hand, we could have a case where a person is totally stuck from the tip of his toes to the top of his head with all kinds of debts, all kinds of creditors that are after him. Uchayev Larba Bankim, he has obligations to four different banks. Chayev Lahorim, Legisim, Lukulam. He has obligations to his parents, his in-laws, his relatives. He owes everybody a ton of dough. Gamanim kazeh, even such a person, even though those obligations, those debts are pressing on him, they come up to his neck, but that's still not, his whole reality isn't paying off those debts. It might be a greater part of his reality, more than $1,000, but it's not his whole reality. There's also other areas in his life. Ulay, may rov, shumusubach, b'chobos, uchoshev, kolayom, al kach. might be, since he has so much debt, he might be thinking about it all day. But in reality, is his whole life a debt? The clear answer to that is, the definite answer is no. It's still not his whole life. When we're dealing with an inner path inside of every human being, Hashem gives a person free will choice every moment of his life of what to do. He has an obligation every second. When we say the words, what is his obligation to this world? The definition is, his whole world is an obligation. That's what machovasa balama is. Every minute of your life, there is an obligation that you have to deal with. Hachov huschus, the obligation is a merit, vahaschus hichovo, and that merit is an obligation. Aval ein dover she'eino chov, but there's nothing in his life that he's not obliged to do. So that's the first point that the tzaddik is telling us here. That you have to look, that there is something which we have to get to the answer. Person has to know what is that obligation, but that obligation becomes the focus of his entire life. And that's what the quote of the Mesil Sharm is. And then he has to know what does he place his focus on in everything that he's toiling all the day of his life. Now that you know what your obligation is, so what's going to be the focus? If this was only a partial obligation, then only on that certain aspect of the obligation does he have to put his focus. Since this is an overall obligation, now he has to put a focus on everything that he toils with his entire life. His whole life revolves around that focus. So that's the first way of looking at these two sentences of the Mesil Sharm.
So here we define only that there is an obligation.
We haven't said what it is yet. We're going to get to it soon. But we have to understand. And once you know that, then that's what you think about all the time. Every moment of your life, you have to make a decision to fulfill that obligation every moment of your life. That's what he's saying. B'chol asher hu'amel kol yimei chayiv. There's an overriding obligation, what his obligation in the world is, right? And it's a 24/7, 365 obligation. Okay, after the diamonds. Now there's one other point he doesn't want to let slip by. He's defining one's service to Hashem as omel, as toil. A male means to be totally immersed, engrossed in that work. Rabbi Mibein Anoshim Einam Tov Sim Asachaim Kamel. Many people in the world do not fathom the fact that life is a life of toiling. Alav Shechazal Amru Adam Lamal Yulad Kol Achaim VeBechinas Omel. In spite of the fact that the rabbis, quoting the book of Iyov, the book of Iyov, so the Navi says, a person was born to work hard. That's what you're born for. That's the Pasuk says. So therefore, your whole life has this aspect of working hard. Okay? Very not acceptable to today's world's understanding of life. Bomek in depth. Gamanaicha shel adam husog shel amo. Even a person's rest has an aspect of toiling. He doesn't see the toiling in it, but that's true as well. Right? You know, even if you take a trip to Florida, you have to toil in it. You know, you have to decide, you know, what time are you going to go to the beach? And sometimes it is an effort, because that means you got to get up earlier before everybody else gets up earlier to go to the beach. So even though you're taking a rest, there's a ways to do it. And, you know, and you can't sleep till 12 o'clock because there's a Zman Kriya Shema. So you still gotta be up. Okay, we have a little later, but you still, when you're on vacation, to get up before 9 is also an effort. on vacation. I want to sleep. No, even resting it. There are definitions, and it's meant. It's still hard work. There's halachas. You have to daven every day. You shouldn't be nichshol. You shouldn't stumble. Right? So there's efforts even there. Even things when it doesn't look like you're working hard. There's also aspects of toiling. People don't understand it. Well, the emes, but the truth is, keshu nichnas l'menucha, a person enters a stage that's called menucha, of rest. Even though we know that the word menucha does not really mean rest in the truest sense. But even if you are, a shalav haba shalo, but the next step, yiyayosa, next page, amelus, just means more work. So it's resting in order to work. Even if you're going to sleep, it's in order, the purpose is so you can continue the toiling. Hu be'etzem yotzer la'atzmo shalavim ba'amel. He essentially is creating for himself different levels of toiling. Mashal ma'adavidar, what can we compare this to? Adam tzorach loses al gabo meo kilo tapuch adamo. Let's say a guy's got to carry 100 kilos of potatoes. Hu yogel lahachlit lischov asam b'pam achas v'chol chakas ozer shayim. Let's say he's got to carry 100 kilos of potatoes from the store to your house. You could decide to do it in one shot, to just walk for whatever, 20 minutes straight. Or you could say, I'll do it in two parts. I'll walk 10 minutes, I'll rest, and I'll finish it up the next 10 minutes. So, Adam Sha'osa Menucha Chalkis, person has a temporary, a partial resting, Yasul Kakas, Pam no Sabbath. It's only so he could be ready to take it another time. Ein davar shalom murkav me'amel. There isn't anything that isn't combined with toil and effort. Kol ha'chaim murkavim me'osam nekudas amel. The whole life is combined with this aspect of effort and toil. Yesh nekuda benevish kemuvan shu l'mala min amel. There is a certain point in the soul of a person that's beyond toiling. Avol ha'chaim kamo she'em kan b'olam hazeh.
But when we talk about life in this world, with everything that reflects this worldly life, which we are in, this is all a concept of a life of toil. Now, of course, yesh bechina shel Shabbos Kodesh bizman, ubechina shel Shabbos Kodesh benefes. Yes, there are aspects of the holy Shabbos in time and in soul. She soda menucha, which is the secret of what quote unquote menucha means. Avol Shabbos nikras me'olam haba, but a Shabbos is called a taste of the world to come. See, in enesh shayeches lekan. That has nothing to do with our discussion now. Masha shayech lekan urak omel. What's appropriate for now in this discussion is omel. Adam lo moyud, a man is created to work hard. In other words, what he's saying is there are aspects within our existence that is not predicated on omel. And not working hard. What's that? That's the next world. The next world, there's no amel. There's no hard work in the next world. But then again, we're not talking about the next world right now in this sefer. As we will get to very shortly. A person in this world has to work hard. That's the definition of this world. Anybody who wants to get around that is delusional. What is a delusional person? A person who is not living in reality. The reality of life in this world is working hard. When do I get to rest? After you die. After you die. Then there's concepts, and we'll see. There's concepts of that. There's a concept of, but then we have to redefine what menucha is as well, which is a whole other discussion I don't want to get into right now. But the idea is, yeah, there are concepts of real Jewish menucha, quote unquote rest, but it really is not designed for this worldly life. It's designed for otherworldly life, right? And that's the first point. That's the first thing that's out of selling us. So if you live in North America, you're gonna have a lot of trouble with the sefer, right? Because I forgot that line. What was the bumper sticker I saw many years ago? A person is born tired. Adam nolad oyef. Person is born tired. It was a Hebrew bumper sticker. Adam nolad oyef. A person is born tired. V'chay bishvil lanuach, and lives in order to rest. Right. So that is totally not true. But that's what life in North America is all about. It's when's the next vacation? I'd rather not work. Right? So that's clearly not to be in touch with reality. That's not the way God intended things to be. You have to have a focus. Now, reason why people want to be on vacation, you understand why? It's because they don't think they have any obligations in this world. If you understood that you had a constant obligation, and there's something to work on all the time, then you realize that you got to work on it all the time. But if a person doesn't think he has any purpose in his life, then what do you got to work hard for? There's no purpose. Purpose is just a vacation. So this already, we're not saying you can't have a vacation, but even a vacation takes work. We'll have to see what this effort is all about. But we haven't even gotten to what the goal is yet, what the whole purpose is, what the focus is, what you're created for.
Was that God's intent when he created the first man? Because he was in the Garden of Eden, he totally messed up. And then things became...
He still, Adam Rishon still had to work.
But everything was there for him. He messed up, and then he had to really work.
No, there's two different kinds of work. There's two different types of toiling. Would you not say that a person learning in a kollel 16 hours a day isn't working hard? But his food's prepared. He doesn't have to work to make a living. He's got to work in spiritual things. That's what the Gemara over there talks about. A person has to toil. Now you have choices in what you want to toil in. If you can toil in mundane things, you can toil in spiritual things. But either way, you got to toil. So the Gemara ends off. Fortune is the one who toils in spiritual things. At the end of the day, you have to put in a hard day. At the end of the day, you got to be tired. So you can spend it, you know, going downtown and working and spending 12 hours working hard and driving back and forth. You could spend 12 hours a day working hard and learning. Either way, so in Gan Eden, he had to work hard too. It says he's put there la'avda l'shamer, before the sin. La'avda l'shamer, to work and to protect. He had work to do. Just because he didn't have to plant and harvest didn't mean there wasn't spiritual work to do. So now that he sinned, Hashem said, okay, now I'm going to shift the burden of work. Now you have to balance physical labor versus spiritual labor. That became the result. But he never got out of, he was created to work hard.
Still ate even if he did 12 in Torah.
So fine, but I don't understand. But still, there's working hard at something. You have to see what the goal is. You'll see in a minute what you have to work hard at. But Adam Rishon had to work hard. After the sin, just shifted the work. But he was never created to just lay back, you know, his ideas, just sit back on a lounge chair in Gan Eden and just, you know, eat the grapes off the tree and relax. That wasn't it at all. Okay, what do you do all day? Learn Torah and Daven. Is that an easy job? It's not an easy job. You know, try to Daven. One good Davening, you get a headache if you Daven properly. If you Daven properly, focus on every word, understand what it means. Focus the whole time, nonstop. It'll tire you out. You look at Rebbes who would Daven, then the Davening, their clothes were drenched. That's a hard work. So that's what Adam Rishon had to do. To daven, give offerings to Hashem, sing praises to Hashem, to learn. He was in the perfect kollel. So he went to work hard. So you're not out of it. You're never out of working hard. That's just the realities of life. Okay, but we have to see what that's going to be the focus. So he says, V'nei. Back to the words of Masil Shasharim. What have the rabbis taught us, enlightened us in this area? Sharam lo nivra ella, person was created, but only for the following purpose. Lo nivra ella, this is the only reason we're created. No other reason. Lisaneg al Hashem, to take delight with Hashem. Velehanos meziv shkinaso, and to take pleasure in the splendor of His divine presence. That is what you were created for, and that's what you have to work hard at, and that must be your entire focus every moment of your life, which he will now spend lots of time explaining. What does that mean? So, Adam Nivra Ra Kedei Lisanig Hashem. A person was created only to delight in Hashem, Shielo Tanug V'Yehena Miziv Hashchina, and that he should take pleasure in the splendor of the Shechina. Hamilim Halolu Hein Be'etzem Sugyus Amukos Ma'od B'Sfarma Kedoshim. These words are essentially deep concepts in the holy books. Unanasa Kamashinitin Mamish V'Hagdoras K'tzaras Levates Omekonim. And we'll try to provide some brief definitions to express the depths of this concept of to take pleasure in Hashem and to enjoy the radiance of His of the Shechina. Nisbarakan Shadam L'Nivra Ela L'Tachlis Achas. It's explained that a person created for only one purpose, Lis'anig Al Hashem, to delight in Hashem. Hamusuk Lis'anim Al Hashem Murkav Mishnei Chalakim. So there's two aspects to this idea. These are the three words, Lisaneg al Hashem, to delight in Hashem. There's two aspects. Reish is called Musik Shel Lisaneg. The first aspect is to take pleasure, to delight. Umimi, and from who? Al Hashem, from Hashem. In other words, Lisaneg Bilvad, to take pleasure alone. Yochalias Rachman al Sam, Mitivrei Isur. It could, God forbid, be from something that's forbidden. I'm created to take pleasure. I can find lots of prohibited pleasures in this world. Yochalias midivret, it could be from permitted things. Yochalias mikedusha, shiadayin lo b'chlos, b'gdershul dveikas b'shem. Could even be in holy aspects that are still not incorporated in the definitions of cleaving to Hashem. So, just to take pleasure is not enough. Now, you see from the fact that we were created to take pleasure in Hashem, he doesn't say this, but by definition that means, therefore you're always looking for pleasure. If you are created to take pleasure in Hashem, that means Hashem had to hardwire you with an innate drive to want to have pleasure. And this is where it gets very interesting. Because if you only have half of the definition without the other half of the definition, we have major problems. Lisaneg, to have pleasure. So a person takes pleasure in everything but Hashem. Right, you have inside a drive that wants to feel what that word is called, ta'anug, pleasure. Right? So you have to be wired to want it. If this is what Hashem created you for, you have to have the hard wiring inside to say, I want to have pleasure. So therefore, every human being yearns to have pleasure. But then now you have to make the choice, what kind of pleasure do you want? And that's the second clause, Al Hashem. To take pleasure with Hashem. So that already, that becomes a critical second half to that definition. Okay. Now, Be'etzem, essentially, if you look in various svarim, you'll find generally three types of reasons that are given for the purpose of creation of man. Why was man created? Aleph, Legalos, Eshmosav, Yisbarach, Shiyukar, Racham, Lechanu. Number one is to reveal the names of Hashem, meaning the aspects of Hashem's conduct, and to be called by those aspects, to live up to those aspects. In other words, to emulate Hashem. Hashem is a rachum, Hashem is a chanan, Hashem takes compassion, Hashem is merciful. Reveal that aspect of Hashem in the world and manifest that kind of behavior. That's one way it's being defined. Number two, lehetiv libriyosav, to do good to other creatures. And Gimel Agalos Es Yichudo. Number three is to reveal God's unity. That's if you look in the different svarim, you'll find these definitions. So, Kan Mavur L'chor V'divir Amchal Shorom Nivra L'Sanag Hashem. Over here, from Lutzaro, it appears that he's saying a person was created to delight in Hashem. Klom Rashi Yilatov. It should be good. Ubama Yilatov. How should be good? Possess Yisanag Hashem. By the fact that you're taking pleasure in Hashem. That's going to be the good. These other definitions, these additional definitions that you find in other works, that a man was created to reveal the unity of Hashem, the rabbis explain that pleasure essentially is revealing that unity of Hashem. Revealing the unity is revealing Hashem. To reveal that there's only one person control, only one entity in control of the world, which is Hashem. Next page. A person takes delight in the fact that he's revealed that concept. Now, how do you reveal that unity of Hashem? Now, come to the other definitions. By revealing His names. And when you reveal that unity and His names, you can come to taking pleasure. These are really three reasons of what's being explained over here. In other words, if you look at those three definitions, they all really are, they all really bring us to the one that Lutzada was talking about. If you want to take delight and pleasure in Hashem, what will be required is, first of all, you got to know who Hashem is. How can you take delight in Hashem if you don't know who Hashem is? I want you to take delight in X. Okay, what is X? We're not telling you. Well, I can't take delight in X if I don't know what X is. So what are we saying? Okay, we'll give you a way to find out who X is. So first you've got to find X. You got to discover X. What is X all about? So X has a lot of names, which means has a lot of characteristics. So you're going to have to find those. And thank God there's forum that write what those are. We've taught that. You got to find those characteristics. And then you've got to emulate them. And when you emulate them, part of that is going to require you to therefore be kind to other people, bestow good to other people, because that's what taking pleasure in this X is all about, and reveal that unity. So we have to discover everything there is to discover about Hashem, to emulate everything there is in Hashem, and that is how you will take pleasure in Hashem. So in other words, what he's saying is, well, there seems to be so many different purposes of life. I'm not sure which it is. So it's really just one. The one is lihisanig el Hashem, to take pleasure in Hashem. There's many things you have to do to take pleasure in Hashem, but the most important one is you have to discover what is Hashem. Who's this being you are taking pleasure in? Okay, after the diamonds. If a person was created to take delight in Hashem, meaning it should be good. In other words, it's a good thing. You should have pleasure. We come to an important question now. My whole service is to take pleasure, so it means the whole service is not lishma. It's not for the sake. It's not for altruistic reasons. It seems to be a self-serving task in life. The whole reason you're created is to have yummy ice cream. To take pleasure in the good food all your life. Okay, so how could I'm saying that's altruistic? I'm benefiting from it. Right? There's a whole concept of lishma. Lishma means you're doing it for the sake of the mitzvah, not for my personal gain. Now he's saying it's to take pleasure. So how do we resolve this? So this is gonna be the next topic. How do we have lishma in Yiddishkeit if it's meant to give you pleasure? It's one of the most famous questions people ask. We're taught to do things lishma, so I have to do it for the sake of the mitzvah, not for my benefit, but the whole mitzvah is that you should take pleasure. So how are we going to answer this? So Zoe Achas Meshelos HaBasisiyos V'yosher Sheshem Al Musuk She'odom Lo Nivra El Lisanag Hashem. This is one of the most fundamental questions on this topic. Certainly a person who searches the pleasures of Hashem is better off than a person who's searching physical pleasures. But it still would appear the essence of your life is not altruistic. So, as we'll explain later on, as he will further explain, really a person is created to cleave to Hashem. That's the real purpose of creation. Not just to take pleasure in Hashem. He was going to explain, so where's the pleasure coming from? We'll see. So, Madua imkein amr chazal shenivali sound Hashem. So why did the rabbi say that a man was created to take pleasure in Hashem if we'll see shortly it really is to be davuk, to cleave to Hashem? So why did they say pleasure if it's cleaving? Hatshuvahi, the answer is, shekeshem shebegash mius.
So think of the physical world. If you want to have two things bond with each other, you need glue, don't you? You need something to cause anything in the physical world to be bound together. You need glue. So kach gam baruchnis, so in spirituality, mashim medabik es ha'adam b'bora. What is the glue that glues a human being to his creator? There has to be a glue. What is the glue? Hu atanik shebedover, is the pleasure in it. The pleasure is the glue. Lo shatanik hu atachlis, the pleasure is not the goal. The pleasure and the delight, those are the things that attach one to another. That's the glue that makes it work. So really, really, the purpose of life is to be attached to Hashem, which by that definition, you know, doesn't necessarily mean you have to take pleasure. But the way you get attached to Hashem is by having pleasure. So we'll see, there can be a point where once I've got the glue, I don't need the glue anymore, could be. Now that I'm attached. So really the goal is to be attached. So that already gets rid of any aspects of shelo lishma, of not being altruistic. As we'll see. We see in the physical world. A person doesn't take pleasure in something. He doesn't feel attached to it. Something he does take pleasure in. He's attached to it. Most men do not enjoy poetry. Right? So they don't feel, I said most. You know, so they don't find any attachment to it. You know, most guys, you know, didn't enjoy poetry class in school. And the other attitude is sports, they enjoy it, they attach to it. Right? That's just in the simple world. We see that. So when the rabbis defined that the service of a person is to take pleasure in Hashem, and to have pleasure and to, in the radiance of the Shekhinah, this is not defining the goal, El Hagdoras Hatachlis Bavoda, but it's defining the goal of the work. In other words, a person has to know what he has to toil in this world. The work part is to have pleasure. But that is for the goal not to have pleasure. The goal is not to have pleasure. The goal is to be attached to Hashem. That's the goal. The tool is the pleasure. Through the work is supposed to bring you a successful job, creates pleasure. But it's that pleasure which creates the cleaving. But once you are stuck, the attachment is not an attachment for the sake of pleasure. So pleasure is a tool, it is not a goal. That's what he's saying.
Like in our Jewish Tech 101, way back, we learned that God created man to give him pleasure.
Oh, we'll see. Hashem created the world to give man pleasure.
Now, I realize but, at that level, we're not talking about pleasure being the glue for the Vegas, but...
No, so the...
But it's still, the goal was to give us pleasure.
Okay, so really the goal is to give us attachment.
You didn't say that to you,
really. I know you don't say
yeah,
that.
Yeah, the goal was...
But did we really think that back...
If they would tell you that in the beginning, you'd walk away.
No, but is that really what the rabbi meant when he said it back then? I mean, knowing what you know.
Yes. So what we're saying now is the goal is
now,
for man to be attached to God. That's the goal.
But he said the goal of the work, so it wasn't a lie.
The goal is.
The goal of your job.
You have to feel that there is pleasure in your work, and that pleasure will bring you to cleave to Hashem. Will ultimately bring you to cleave to Hashem.
Right.
But when we say God created, why did God create man? To have someone to give pleasure to.
Okay, so we'll see. He still has a lot more.
But I think even in those early classes, they said, "What is that pleasure? The pleasure is being close to God." Even way back.
Right. That's right.
Isn't that what they said? That was the pleasure. Being close to God and in the next world and having that relationship with God—that's the ultimate pleasure.
That's the next world. So now that's next world stuff. But now we have to look at this world stuff. So we'll see. We need to explain more. Naz results blush akhars. Let's explain this in another way. Another way of speaking. I don't know how much we'll get done today. Yesh na'ava tluya b'dover. Yesh na'ava shena tluya b'dover. There's a love that's defined as a love that depends on something. And then there's a love that doesn't depend on anything. Ava tluya b'dover. Butla dover. Butla ava. Ava shena tluya b'dover. Kemas tamid. A love that depends on something, if that factor is nullified, then the love is nullified. A love that doesn't depend on anything, that lasts forever. That we know from Pirkei Avos. Next page. So a person connects to Hashem only because of the pleasure. What if he doesn't have any pleasure being attached to Hashem? He will not be connected. That what is connecting him? Only the pleasure of Dveikus. If you lose the pleasure, you lose the cleaving. In other words, so I have a tluy b'dover. This is a love that depends on something. If you nullify the pleasure, you nullify the connection. Love, we know, has a numerical value of 13, which is the same as the Hebrew number 1. So batlava, if the love is nullified, batlatanik, the connection, the pleasure is lost, batlach, this is lost the unity. In other words, he's saying, if the only reason I cleave to Hashem is because it's enjoyable, then that will not last. You know what? I like being close to God because it's really lots of fun. I enjoy it. Okay, so it's possible that for that to stop being fun. And then you no longer are going to be connected to Hashem. That's shalol lishma. That's completely shalol lishma. Al mechibur adam lebara ena mitzadat hisan gus elozo chibur be'etzem. But if the connection to Hashem isn't because of the pleasure, but it is the essential connection, reishagam kasher mispat latanig adam mamshich lius mechubar. Even if the pleasure is nullified, you are still attached.
With what?
With Hashem. Ella in the brackets, Ella Shaliday Hatanuk Yigil Chibur. Through the pleasure you came to initially be connected. Ulam Laakashi Shabra, once you are connected, Ata Ein Ikara Chibur Mikoach Hatanuk. The main connection is not through the pleasure anymore. Ukamo Ken Kasher Hisan Kasher Hatanuk Kayam. And similarly, when the pleasure does exist, he's not connected because of the pleasure, even though the pleasure exists. In other words, again, we've explained this in other ways. Again, when you take two couples, one that's just married and one that's married 50 years, and you ask the newly married couple, why did you get married? They'll give you 50 reasons. Which means, it's totally shalol lishma. Nobody gets married for altruistic reasons. For sure not. They, selfish, narcissistic reasons you get married. After 50 years, you ask them, why are you married? And they're going to find it very difficult to come up with one reason. Not even one reason. They don't have one reason. And they think that they're not normal. I guess I don't love my wife anymore. The answer is no. If you don't have any reasons, you have now bonded totally with the person. Do you have to have a reason? Why do you love yourself? I love myself because I am myself. Don't need reasons. When you're so long connected to another person, there is no reason anymore. It's not to the point, well, I guess if you don't do what I want anymore, I'm going to leave. That's why everyone's getting divorced, because they never got married lishma, and never with a goal of bonding. It always was, we get married, as long as I get something out of it, then I will stay married. If once I say I get nothing out of it, I will no longer stay married. That's not how God designed marriage. God designed marriage to be dveikus. That's what it says right in the beginning. To be davuk one to the other, not to love each other. I mean, you will be in love, but it's not that kind of love, as we've defined already, that love is not the way we understand to be. So, but of course, you need to do certain things to bring the two people together. You do enjoyable things together and spend enough time together, but as time passes, even if there's no quote-unquote pleasure, but the two are stuck together forever. And that's what he's saying over here as well. There are pleasurable activities that stick you together, but then comes to a point where you don't need the pleasure anymore. And now you're at one with the other being. So just leave you with this question. So why did Chazal say a person was created only to take pleasure Hashem? It would appear that this chibur should be also without pleasure. So that already we'll have to discuss next week. So, but today we've come to the point of saying that the pleasure is the glue. Then we have to get to the point past the glue. Okay, we'll continue next week. Tomorrow we will continue with the Tanya.